Thank you for coming and thank you for having me. For the first time in Malaysia, I'm having a ball. I am a curator and I am the head of the education program at the Israeli Center for Digital Art. And when I say I'm the head of the education program, I am also the only employee of the education program of the Israeli Center for Digital Art, because we are a very small operation. We are 6 people and we are spread thin on a variety of projects, and I'm here to talk about us and what we do and something about our agenda, and mainly about our current project in the Jesse Cohen neighborhood. But I will start with who we are. The Israeli Center for Digital Art Holon, which is the full name, and it is a bad name, which I didn't choose, was formed in 2001. We actually celebrated our 10 years of existing a month ago, in a very private way, and this is our building. We don't look like an art center. We look like a school because we were a school. It was a school that got abandoned with the neglect of the neighborhood by the municipalities for it was something that happened over 20 years. And then somebody at City Hall wanted to have a video center for children or something like that. Galit Elad, the founder and the manager up to a year ago of the center, she wanted to make it to make an art lab of it. And between the gap between the two wants and needs of the municipality and Galit, between that emerged a center for contemporary art. That does quite a lot. Also in 2001, when we started working, broke the Second Intifada, and the dream or the plan of an art lab became suddenly less important than to work within the from the place and the time that we work in. Because we talked about it earlier, Israeli art is very Western oriented. Israel, in general, sees itself as an island of the West inside the jungle that is the Middle East, which is wrong. And the fact that the Israeli art scene is detached from the rest of the art scene in the Middle East, that people in Israel, no Kiefer doesn't know Akram Zardari, is a problem. The center became more and more involved. The agenda of the center is socio-political, and in other words, we constantly ask the question of what can art do, and what can we do more. And for that, we developed through the years a bunch of platforms that we work through them. The main one, which is is of course our exhibitions. We have different exhibition spaces because every one of our galleries was once a classroom, so it looks from something like a classroom or an office space. It has never a white cube, it's a grey, problematic little cube. In which we do 4 to 5 main exhibitions a year, and
in which we try to raise issues that we think that are not dealt with enough in the Israeli reality and in the in general in the Israeli art scene. Right now, that by the way, that the Baal picture is of a current project of it. In the center, it is called Where To? With a question mark, because we feel the Zionistic movement has come to an end. We have come to a place of no hope, of a very narrow corridor in which the Israeli society is walking to a place that is not good, and we have to think again about what we do and who we are. And so we've built a very long table. You see just I think a fourth of it. It goes all through our exhibition space, and it's not really an exhibition but an open archive to the public. We are looking for answers for the Israeli society, not out of the box, because when you look in Israel today, out of the box, you're considered as anti-Zionist, anti-Semitic, and all forms of anti that you can think about. So we are looking for answers not in other places. We are looking for answers in the early stages of Zionism, when Zionism was a spectrum of ideas. Only one of them was nationalistic Zionism. And we invite artists and, from different methods of action and general public just to dive into this archive and find new solutions. And this is actually a year-long project that will end in an exhibition in April 2012. And who comes to the people who come to the to our experience space actually see a place of work, and you see the dots on the wall. Each and every one is of a different color, of the different groups that research in this project, and they can see the thinking, they can see the excerpts of the archive that is in the form of books and movies and current artwork and historical newspapers and articles and so forth, and excerpts of that of the that go on the wall by the artists. Another platform that we have is an archive. We've got a video archive. We've started collecting video works in 2001, first year. And it's not, we are a center, not a museum. That means that all of the works in this archive are not ours. They were given to us by artists. The archive is there for research purposes only, and everyone actually, theoreticians, curators, artists, and the general public can come and watch whatever they want, whenever they want, when we open. We've got now more than 2,500 works. And it's kind of base of knowledge that we have. Actually, 4.5 years ago, we started a project that came from the archive that is called the Mobile Archive, which is two-thirds of this archive that are moving through the world. And each and every station, it opens like a video store with and view for the public, and this way we can show artwork from the region in different places. You can see on the map the different places that the archive was visited Woods 4.5 years. The last point was at Sao Paulo, Vienna, and the next stop I think is Chicago. And each and every stop of the mobile archive had up to 25 new works. So the archives continued to grow more and more. At the beginning, we had we were mainly dealing with the regional artwork, the regional video works from the Middle East, from the Balkans, from Eastern European countries. Because of the similar narrative, and as I mentioned before, because most of the Israelis know what's going on in New York or in Berlin, and now we get the mobile archive, because it's successful. It was planned as a 3 years operation, but we are almost entering the fifth year, because people just want to come there and. Successful why started. Another different platform that we have is an online magazine called Ma'arav. Ma'arav in Hebrew is an ambush, and it also sounds like West, which is there from I think 2005. For a while, it was the only online magazine or magazine at all of the Israeli Algerian culture scene. They're very committed, very political, and these days we have special editions of Ma'arav that come 4 to 5 times a year, which is allows us to have a wider debate on issues. On the bottom, it's our radio station. We've got a 24-hour radio station on the web. It's called Khalas. Khalas in Arabic is enough, and it's Khalas is also called on the audio service. Which is a backyard of ideas, of a meeting place of artists and musicians and actors, and it's from each and every field that they want. And it's not a regular radio station. It's with regular programming. It's always evolving. Even in different times of the day, if you open the halas.am, it will look different to you. And the only rules that apply is the fact that it's audio only. So, and the material that we broadcast varies. It can be sound works, but it can also be. One of my favorite is 50-minute debates from the Knesset, from the Israeli Parliament. One committee that talked about a project that we were involved in, and they called us and some of the artists, and it was 50 minutes of politicians trying to say to us that we are anti-Zionistic and anti-Semitic. All of that. So, because it's a Knesset committee and it belongs to the general public, Galit, who I mentioned before, just put her iPhone on the table and recorded every thing that was said, and 2 hours and 50 minutes later, after our technician got the recording, it was on the air. Besides that, we've got a residency program, and we have some residents program here today. And we've got a flat in downtown Holon. I didn't mention that, but Holon is, because when you think about Israel, you think about Tel Aviv, you think about Jerusalem, you think about the West Bank, you don't think about Holon. Holon is a very small town just south of Tel Aviv. And our residency flat is in downtown Holon, which nothing happens there. And we have different kinds of workshops that we do, and not we do, usually do not repeat our workshop. We do a workshop when we see a need, or we develop the workshop when we see a need. And this also applies to our education program that is mainly me. We don't act like an education program of a museum or something like that. We always want to get to know the people who come before they come. Who's the group? How many people in the group? What are they studying? There shouldn't be a box of education that we try to fit all of our visitors into it, but we try to see what they want and how can we communicate with them through our agenda and their needs. And it's mainly about the public, but not in consuming, like people come and consume art in our art center. It's communication. It's always a two-way street. One example of and we have different other projects that are not the education program, that are not the radio, that are tailor-made to feel a need. One of them was a 3 years, actually it was meant to be 8 months, it was 3 years, what we called Living Up Spaces. Living Up Spaces was 3 conferences. The first one in just next to Columbia Checkpoint, where the center renovated had a small store that we rented for the period of time, and it was a meeting point for Israelis and for Palestinians and for different artists from Europe and curators. And it wasn't a place of, oh, let's all get together and see if we can start this by just being artists and smiling to one another, because there's no two equal sides in this equation of Israelis and Palestinians. And we wanted to see, again, what can art do? What can we do? And the result was not supposed to be an exhibition, or it was supposed to be an outdoor. It was giving knowledge. It was talking, not for the sake of peace, but for the sake of trying to examine in a less superficial way, or black and white way, the reality of the occupation that is now in its 44th year. Actually, the second conference of Living Up Spaces was in Leipzig, and it had sort of an exhibition, but with half-baked work. And this is, I think, where Galit and Eyal decided that the end result of this project shouldn't be artwork. What's important is the knowledge. And then came the third part, was a travel conference in mixed cities in Israel and in the West Bank. And a lot of artwork came from this project, but I think because there wasn't any pressure to make it, the only things that we wanted to create is a meeting point between people. And that meeting point of the lower common denominator, look, see, we are all human beings, why can we just live together? That's very shortly. I mean, trust me, I can go on and on and on what we do. But I was invited to talk about our latest project, which is the Jesse Coin project. The Jesse Coin project, Jesse Hill is misspelled because Jesse Coin is a neighborhood in Holon, and it is misspelled because in every sign or every street it is written differently. We kind of like that, so we are misspelling Jesse Coin. Jesse Coin is the backyard of Holon. Holon is a very small city that in the last 20 years become a very good city to live in, because it's got a very strong mayor that understood that the only way to change the reality of Holon, and I grew up just next to Holon, and when you talked about the Holon people, citizens, you talked about backward citizens and the city of crime and poverty. And in the last 20 years, Holon just jumped forward through an expensive funding to the art and building a lot of museum, the last thing is the Dijan Museum that opened its gate 6 months ago. And through all of this process that did a lot of good to the city, this neighborhood stayed behind. And the neighborhood, the Jesse Coin neighborhood, started, was formed in 1953. And it's an immigration neighborhood, a very small immigration neighborhood. Population is now 10,000 people, and all of its inhabitants are came from different places, came from what we call in Israel Aliyah. We don't have immigration. In Israel we have Aliyah, and Aliyah means going up, because you go up to Israel and you go down from Israel, because this is the Holy Land and we are the chosen people, and all of that actually this is what is here, but this is all of the table. It's very small, and the inhabitants from the 50s, the first one came from Arab state. So again, in the Israel, from the Israel consensus, they came from the wrong side of the track, because we always saw ourselves as Europeans. And in the 1980s, there was two big immigration waves from Ethiopia, which also problematic. It's very the demographic, and what we call Israel, the demographic problem, is a very big player in the Israeli society, because Israel as a state and as a nation needs a majority of Jewish people. And recent research showed that up to in 2020 there will be there won't be any more majority of Jewish people. Jordan and the sea, but that's a whole different world. So we actually want to bring Jews from wherever we can, and so hence the immigration wave. And so in the 80s we found the Ethiopian Jews and got them. It's called the Operation, and everything is Operation, everything is army on it. Operation, Operation Shlomo. And then we saw growth in the early 90s with the collapse of the Soviet Union, and the fact that almost 1 million Jews, it's not actually correct, from the Soviet Union made Aliyah to Israel. It's not really correct, because third of these people are not Jewish. And but the Israeli society, the Israeli government treat them different than the Ethiopian Jews, because they came from different culture, they came from black culture, as far as the Israeli the limit with the absorption of that is a society, and the current invasion wave that inhabits justified is again Ethiopia, but they are what's called Salashua. Salashua means these people converted into Christianity two or three generations ago, and if they want to come to Israel right now, they have to. We are not so lenient in terms as we were with the former Soviet Union. The minute they sign the papers to immigrate to Israel, they lose control of the land. They actually bring them to camps in Africa. And they can sit in these camps from 3 months up to 3 years and start a very hard process of converting to Judaism. And when they come to Israel, they have to be for a year in an urban, in an Hebrew school, until they are dispersed in different parts of Israel. And there's a list they can choose from where they want to live. They actually don't know nothing about the places in the list, and naturally enough, none of these places is a strong place or socio-economical and better place. These are weakened places, these are neighborhoods like Jesse Cohen. And to add to that, the government never said to the municipality of Kulon, look, there's going to be families of Falash Mora coming to the neighborhood. They just bought the apartment, which is the only way that people can get out of Jesse Cohen, because nobody buys an apartment in Jesse Cohen. And I will soon explain why. And this is the only way people in the neighborhood to go out, because suddenly the government buys the apartment and lent it to the new immigrants. So 2 weeks before, 130 families entered the neighborhood. There was a phone call to City Hall and said, in a very pleasant way, look, they are coming to live here. So people in the neighborhood and in the city was totally unprepared for that, and there's a lot of tension in the neighborhood because of that. In the former Soviet Union immigrants, that most of the strong ones moved away from the neighborhood, so most of them are old, and they have a problem with the fact that the neighborhood that they know for 20 years has suddenly become black. And all of these together just one aspect of the problem of the neighborhood. It's a community that forgot, well, it's not a mini community, but it forgot how to work as a community. And we were called by the municipality to do a project in the neighborhood. And in City Hall, they see us as an art center, as one of the tools that the city has to deal with the problem. And naturally enough, with our agenda, we said, hell yes, but not in the form of art celebration or big art events, but in long-term projects. Not only one method of action, not only one artist or one idea. If we are invited by the city, let's try different approach. Let's succeed and let's fail. Let's see what we can do, and let's see if we can have some models that we can adapt also later to different communities and different neighborhoods in Israel and beyond. And we started the research, and the research took something between 6 and 8 months, in which we first started with the city archives. None of the neighborhoods are digitized, so we got a whole bunch of cardboard boxes, and we started living material from the 50s up to till today, trying to learn the people who lived there, and the history of there, just by letters to City Hall, and a lot of forms that they tried to implement there for the years, and that took a lot of time. And besides that, I started talking to the school, to the education system, to the community center, to the business owners, to went down until we just talked to people who live there. And we talked and we talked and we talked and we talked, and we talked for 8 months, which developed a lot of expectations in the neighborhood, so that we'll do something. And sort of when they talked about what they want us to do, they talked about the broken sidewalks, and they talked about the fact that it's dirty, and the fact that if we are an outsider, we should make this place beautiful, and which was a bit of a problem for us. And after we did, we had acquired quite a lot of knowledge, and we opened this to our community, to artists, to city planners, to architects, and made it available to them, both them and to tools in the neighborhood, to meet the people themselves, to walk through the streets, to learn what we have learned, and not only talk to us, talk to people who live there, and then propose for us projects. The project that and we do not decide which project we do or not do, which is very foul as an artist and creators to give up the right to decide. If we are the gatekeepers, we should keep the gate. But but we are outsiders. Even after the research, even after we talk to all the people, we cannot decide for the people what is good for them. So we formed a round table of 12 people, sometimes it's bigger than that. And we have 2 votes in this round table. We bring the suggestion, we can sell them, we can fight for them, but at the end of the line, we have only 2 votes. And this is how we decide what's going to be. Another thing that is different for us is that we walk outside of our comfort zone. We actually suddenly it can seem a lot of time as an elaboration of QA and stuff, but suddenly we work with welfare, and suddenly we work with schools, and suddenly we work with the Amida, the public housing company. We don't know how to do, and we have to learn in the park and garden. So the municipal authority, all have different vibes, different bureaucracy that we have to learn to work with. And of course, the residents, and of course, to everybody is a partner in this project. But the problem is that when you talk about change and when you try to do it, it's almost never visible. And when we try to do something that is long term, and it was the initial state we talked about a 2-year program in this neighborhood. We are now talking about 3.5 years, and it's ever growing and staying us, but it has to be long term. It can't be just like our tourism. We can't do a big celebration and then leave. and we have to think that our long-term process is not visible in any way. So we have to map the fact that we're there, and the Israeli summer is a very hot season, and we, in the last summer, we decided that we will do a series of events for the general public, just to make everybody know that we're there. So there was a series of concerts, each and every one of them had a different theme to it. One was very Eastern Europe oriented, while one went to Ethiopian music, and basically bringing what we think is good, but in what in collaboration and you know, in the needs of what people want to see and hear. The another thing that we did is an open cinema. The heart of the neighborhood, the commercial area of the neighborhood, there is a very rundown supermarket that once was a cinema. And there are no cinemas in the neighborhood, there are no cinemas in Kulon entirely, because everyone goes to the big complex of cinemas that are out of the city. And we decided to mark the building of the old cinema as a meeting place, as a new meeting place. So it's now a supermarket, so instead of showing the movies inside, we just screen them on the back of it. And there was a committee of people from Jesse that decided what would be the movies that we going to screen. And then people started to understand that something is happening in the neighborhood. That was not enough visibility to us. We understood that we had to be there. And not only more from our center, which is in the different, in the other side of town. So in the same commercial area, which is a lot of closed shop, we rented a shop, and which is a very small shop, you can see it here. It's next to the those local gallery of men playing cards each day from 9 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock at midnight. They just sit in the end, they have no wall. And next to them there was a shop that was closed, so we rented it and renovated it and started. It's a base of operation. It's the office of the project. It can be, and it was, and will be a small gallery place. It's a place of workshop. It's a place of artist talk. It's where we work from in the neighborhood, and so people can always see us, and which is extremely important, because each and every project that we start, it's like a lot of time, it's like for the first time, and they see us there for over a year now. So in a place that gathers a lot of people, it helps us.
I'm really fond of this store that we have now.
And in the store we have the different kind of workshops, and not only in the store. And we all the projects that we got, and all we asked for projects that answer questions or deal with difficulties that we have in the community, or the needs of different people in the communities. And one of the needs was to empower by the exchange and the giving of new tools. And the workshops are from different ages and from different communities, and from some of the groups are mixed, some of the groups are very precise, like the elderly or young people. These are pictures from the 1 minute workshop, 1 minute journey. The 1 minute comes from the Sandberg Institute. It's
started
with a game of it started actually with a class on video art. It did not have archives, so it said everybody will make a minute, we have 4 hours to talk about it. And it worked, and the one junior workshop is a workshop of empowerment. It's 5 days that the teenagers are with us, with our instructors, with our computer, if they nothing. They don't go to school, they don't sleep at home. It's, and learning video in a crash course of 5 days. It's like running a marathon in 6 minutes. From the initial concept, developing the concept through the basic materials and knowledge about movies, and going out to shoot and edit, and we bring everything. We bring the people, we bring the equipment, we just can they make the first movie, the first minute, which is always interesting and always very involved, because it is the first minute in a new language, yes, in video. So it's, whether it's funny or sad or touching or something like that, it's all is direct. It's the second movie that's called The Parables, when learning a new language. It's very crucial, the first thing you say, the second thing is always manieristic. This is a photograph from the first stage of wearable computing that we started with elderly in the, a few weeks ago. And it's to try and see how sewing and weaving techniques can go along with computing, and go along with lenses and fabric that can be electricity. And I was there at the first stage of this. It gets more elaborate now, but the first stage was very simple, of making costumes to a pool party, to a costume party for holiday. It's not for women that are all over 70 years old. And you know, I'll just, it's very short, so I'll show it to you. So that's like a very small example of one of the workshops we did. I will go very quickly about two steps. Some of the project that we're doing right now. Last one is the first project that we started with a group of women in the 40s and 50s. One of the most alarming things we encountered in the neighborhood is the fact that people don't think the life story is important. And that includes the old people, the young people. I had a conversation with a teenager that told me, he was like 14 years old, and he said, look, I was born in Jesse, I was down in Jesse, in the middle, just in the middle. So, and these are all immigrants, yes. They have a life story that is fascinating, but a lot of time to get assimilated in the Israeli society, you have to relinquish your identity tags and acquire the Israeli census. And so they leave behind culture, they leave behind their story, they leave behind their life. And this women group started in what we did it for one of them, it was started with what looks like a writing workshop. So they just started writing their life, the history, the everyday practice of writing. They've been writing for over a year now, each and every one of them, every day. Just by that and by meeting every week, and they become a strong group in the neighborhood, that know that they can change, that they have power, they have political power. At this stage of the project, they are each and every one of them is working with an artist on a joint artwork. And regarding by Ayel Zohar, actually the morning I flew here, in the morning that a lot of trucks with you need to build a community garden arrived to the first site out of two that we are dealing with in the neighborhood. The site is in the school, the people from the neighborhood decided what will be the garden. There's a lot of trees from different places in the world, from places that people came from. The idea of community garden is not new, but there will be plots to different people in the neighborhood to plant whatever they want, and a garden for different part of it will be a garden for all of them, kind of avant gardening, if you will. Architecture and design. There were two studios that worked in the settlement, finished this work 2 months ago, and one dealt with the apartments, the average size of an apartment in Jesse Cohen is 45 square meters, which is nothing. The average number of people in an apartment in Jesse Cohen is 5 point something. And the first studio architecture students that was led by two architects, one of them is Gilderman, planned renovations for these apartments. A lot of the time when people even have money to renovate their apartment, they don't have money to get all the income you don't start, just start breaking more to get from the property to get I'm looking for a world and thank you. You have to get permits, and you have to have a correct plan, which they usually don't have, and so it when they do it, it's arbitrary, and they do it all the time because life needs room, and 45 square meters are not enough. The other studio dealt with community spaces next to the building, because a lot of times they find the room outside. You see a lot of outside salons in Jesse College. People bring the outside kitchens, and they build outside they host people there, they get together there, they actually export a lot of their life next to the building. So the studio had various ideas dealing with these spaces, and two of the ideas are now being developed by the city. One of them is gardens on the roof of the building, and the other one is actually of a building that has no terraces, and they wanted to, everyone to have a terrace, and you can't just add it to the building. So the idea was to, if not to end it, to break it down next to the building. There's a big space that will be a community space with sort of terraces that will be there for people to use. One idea that I wanted the city to take, and they didn't, is the outside kitchen. Great food in the neighborhood, but really, I think the last project, and this is just some of the projects that we're doing right now, the last project can we talk and show something from, is Jesse's Cooking, is one of two projects that two artists called Effie and Amir, one's Israeli, live and work in Israel. You should check them out, really good artists. And Jesse's Cooking is a web documentary, meaning that the end result will be, one of the end results, the main one will be a website. And when you enter this, you will see a map of the neighborhood, and it's introducing the neighborhood through its cooking. But it's not really about cooking. The cooking and the food is an access point to the life. It's again the validation of people's existence, of life. And when you will enter the shot on the project, a lot of families that just let them enter into the kitchen, each and every one of the chose the dish and cooked it in front of the camera. And food is processed, opened a little window into their life, into their history, into what did it mean when you will see, and you actually can learn about the neighborhood for the food that it's being cooked. So you have a map and you can see if it's kosher or unkosher, if it's spicy or sweet. And it's not only people who cook. A person invited us for the cigarette and coffee in the morning, because it's a whole big ceremony. And there are two young children that come each and every day after school alone, because mommy and daddy are walking, and they cook for themselves, and they taught a lesson of how to make the greatest chocolate milk in the world, or something like that. So in this website, it's not going to be linear. You can just roam through the neighborhood, cooking. However you want to. And get to know these people. It's of course, it has also other end results, not other, but we can add more like a cooking book or a recipe book and things like that. In 3 months we are launching the site with a big food festival in Jersey. I want to show you just one of the of the short video segment that you can see, and you will be able to see in the site.
Okay.
Several dialogues with other communities around the world on the south side of Israel.
of Chicago, which is not the loop, not the bubble of Chicago with the buildings and stuff, but the segregated Chicago, the black Chicago, about exchanging programs, sending them things we think that can work there, and getting from them what they did there, and different dialogues also with the center in London, and we actually went there's a place in Hamburg that I don't remember its name, but